As Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and to teach all nations in Matthew chapter 28, others received a different type of commission, one meant to undermine the truth of the resurrection. Two commissions, one meant to speak truth and the other to suppress it. As Jesus said, you're either helping or you're hurting the cause of Christ. You're either gathering or you're scattering those who would follow him. Which commission are you active in today? I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in once again as we continue this discussion around the Great Commission. How many times have you heard that there's always two sides to every story? Now, we know this to be true. We see it on a day-by-day basis. You can't even turn on the TV without being given propaganda and stories that really are just meant to fulfill a certain agenda. Well, this is exactly what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Now, in a few weeks, we are going to be remembering and celebrating the resurrection of Christ. It's one of my favorite times of the year when the church comes together just to remember this event. But you know, as we look at Matthew chapter 28 again, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the high priest, they came and they realized what was happening. Okay, we're going to look at the account, but the soldiers came to them and explained their point of view. And I really think that they had questions. I think that they gave them information that they weren't ready to hear. I can imagine the soldiers came in and they said, hey, we kind of lost it. We did not fall asleep. The last thing we realized, there was an earthquake, there was a light, there was something coming down from the heavens, the stone rolled away, and then everything was blank. Maybe it sounded like that. I'm not sure. But I know one thing, that when presented with the truth, the religious leaders, they chose to create a different story. They chose to believe a lie, to attempt to discredit the story of Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 28, we're looking at a different commission today, not the Great Commission, where Christ was on a mountain in Galilee talking to his disciples, giving them these words of life to go and to teach all nations. Not that commission, but a different commission, one meant to suppress the truth and not to proclaim it. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read verse 11 through 15. The Bible says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this thing come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day." And so we have a very different type of commission right here. Remember, they were presented with the truth. These soldiers came and they explained what had happened. And how do we know that they had received truth from these soldiers? Because they had to be retaught. They had to be given a different story. Okay, they had to be bribed. They were given large amounts of money. I mean, why else do all of that unless you were trying to cover something up? They were empowered with money. The soldiers were sent to speak these words, to do as they were taught. And if things went bad, well, the religious leaders would take care of them and they would talk to the governor. This is very much a commission that was meant to undermine the cause of Christ. They were given truth and they rejected it. They were given truth and they chose instead to take that truth, to twist it, to distort it, to manipulate it for their own advantage because they could not accept what the truth meant. And you know, 2,000 years later, really nothing has changed. Not much has changed. The world hasn't stopped doing this throughout the last 2,000 years. When we look at the Bible says that God created all things. We have a truth, words of truth, but that man comes along and man says, hey, no, that's not true. We've evolved throughout millions of years, and we have this concept of evolution. And so there's a biblical truth, and there's a different version of their own truth, a recreated truth, if you will. The Bible says that the Bible is the source of all morality. But the world looks at that truth and they say, hey, wait a second here. Morality is subjective and it's defined by culture. You can't say that the Bible and God's law is the ultimate source of all morality. No, because then we would be subject to it. Then we would have to keep it. We would have to follow it. You see, man always wants to rebel against established biblical truth. There's always a different countering point that the world will try to bring up to undermine what God and the Word of God is trying to accomplish in the hearts of man. The Bible goes on to say that truth is absolute, but man says truth is relative. The Bible says that our purpose in life, our very existence, is meant to bring glory to God. But man says, wait a second, you are God, and you are meant to receive glory yourself. The Bible says that all life is sacred because we are made in the image of God, and life is meant to be kept and to be preserved. And man says, no, all life is not sacred. There is no life in the womb. The Bible says that God created both man and woman. But man says, no, that doesn't really jive with our truth. We're going to recreate it. And we're going to just say that male and female are just social constructs and that we can just decide what we want to be. And so we have a world that is so determined to counter God's truth by trying to redefine it. They're attempting to change the story. Just as the religious leaders, they changed the story of what really happened. They were given truth and then they changed it to fit their own agenda. And that is exactly what we have today. How many times do you read a news article or you watch a video on TV at your local news station and they take a story, and by the time the story is done, what could have been just a basic story about whatever is meant to serve their own agenda and their own position. It's meant to change your mind. It's not an objective review of something that happened, but rather it is meant to brainwash you. It's meant to brainwash me. It's meant to change minds and hearts. And this is exactly what the world is trying to do. The world is trying to buy people off, to buy the truth. But the truth can't be bought, and the truth should not be abandoned. Our life doesn't consist of the things which we possess. We know the Bible says this. The truth cannot be sold. It cannot be bought, but it must be preserved and it must be kept. The world's objective is to undermine God's truth, our faith, and to discredit the biblical narrative. The soldiers 2,000 years ago, they did as they were taught. They came in, they presented what really happened, and then they had to be retaught. Okay, and then they did as they were taught. That should not be us. We should not just do what the world wants us to do. We should not buy in to what they're selling. We have the truth. We know the end of the story. We have the full account in the Word of God. Why do we need to settle for some cheap version that doesn't make sense and that is inaccurate and, quite frankly, is just a downright lie? The world offers nothing but lies, while God's word offers the truth. Ideas like evolution, humanism, atheism, these can only be believed because they are taught. There's no way to naturally come to a conclusion that everything happened by chance. There's no way to naturally come to a conclusion that myself, that I just have some inherent goodness. As bad as I am and as evil as I know I am, just somewhere deep inside, I'm good? I mean, how do I come to that conclusion? How do I come to the conclusion that if we don't go green, that the whole world is going to end sometime in 2033? I mean, these are things that are only believed because they're taught. The idea that the Bible is not true, that it's just a book of fairy tales, and that it's just a book that a bunch of religious quacks could believe, that idea is believed because it's taught. Schools, universities, music, entertainment, movies, all of these platforms, they are meant to teach. They're meant to teach, and each one has a message. And unfortunately, that message is countering the truth that we know from God's word. The message that we get from a lot of Hollywood is meant to counter what we believe. It's countering our faith. Now, the message that we get from academically, from the school system, again, is meant to counter our faith. And this is nothing but a battle of worldviews, and it's all about submission. Who are we going to submit to, the word of man or the word of God? And 2,000 years ago, this is what the two commissions really focused on. There was God's truth as Jesus met with the disciples on a mountain in Galilee. And as he revealed himself and confirmed that he was exactly who he said he was, that every promise, that every claim that he had made was true, and he was there to prove it as he sent them out to represent that truth. They were submitting to God's truth as they lived their faith day by day, as they lived for their faith and as they died for their faith. And meanwhile, at a different location, we have the religious leaders with their own commission. And those soldiers submitted to a story that was just meant to undermine what really happened. Whose ideas are you going to submit to today? I mean, really, that's the question. Is whose ideas are we going to submit to? Whose truth will we yield ourselves to? The world, they have their own truth. They're always reinventing a new truth. But truth cannot be reinvented. It cannot be recreated. Truth is not subjective. You can't have your own truth and then I can have my own truth. It doesn't work like that. Truth is absolute. Truth doesn't change. The foundation of our very society is built on truth. And if we abandon truth, then our society is just going to unravel. And that is exactly what we're seeing today as we have this all-out clash of cultures that is going on. We see it on the news, we hear it on the radio, and it's all because man is not willing to submit to God's truth. 2,000 years ago, those religious leaders, they heard the truth and they could not accept it. And at any cost, they were willing to do whatever they had to do to undermine that story, the story of Christ's resurrection, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that they had to do, they were willing to do. They were willing to bribe the governor. They were willing to pay off the guards. They were willing to just tell downright lies just to suppress the truth. Now, what would have it meant if Jesus was accepted by the chief priests? What would it have meant if they had looked at the truth and said, man, it happened. We were wrong. Jesus was right. Well, they would have realized that they had just killed the Messiah. They would have just realized that everything that he said was true. That would have meant that everything that they stood for was in error. You see, for the world to accept truth, that in itself is a judgment on them because they have been countering it for so long. They have been trying, living in denial, trying to create whatever they want as truth. They are worshiping the God of their own creation because the God of the Bible has already condemned them. And if they accept Christ, then they know their judgment is coming. If they accept that the Bible is true, then they know that everything that they believe in is built on a lie. What would it mean today if the world accepted the legitimacy of the Bible? Well, it would be quite similar to if the chief priest had 2,000 years ago. The world cannot and will not accept the biblical account. If the account of Christ is true, then again, they are in trouble. If the account of Christ is true, then they are accountable to a holy God. And that is what it all boils down to, is that the Bible teaches that God has given us His Word. And as we read His Word and His Word reaches our heart, we have no excuse. The very creation of God reveals who He is, and it reveals how sinful we are. We have His written Word, His divine revelation that has even gone into detail, just writing out how sinful we are and why and what needs to be done if there should be an atonement for that sin. We're guilty, and we are accountable to this God. If the biblical narrative is true, then they have a judgment that's waiting for them one day. If the Bible is true, then we don't get to decide what is right and what is wrong, what is sinful and what is righteous. God decides. And the world just can't have that. The world can't have a God that will judge them. Because remember, the world, they are a God unto themselves. Why are we surprised today at the world's depravity? They're just doing as they've been taught. They're just doing as they've been taught, just like the soldiers. They were taught which lie to tell and when and where to go and who to talk to. They were given the lie. They bought into it and they sold it. And that day, if you were to go back in time, and if they had like a TV, now obviously they didn't have a TV, but if they had all the media and the news, and they did, I'm sure, have some type of way to disseminate information, I can guarantee you that 3 days after the death of Christ, the news that night was not, oh, Jesus rose from the grave victorious, the disciples rejoice. That was not the story on the local news station, but rather, the whole establishment got together, created the story, Jesus died, body stolen by disciples. That was the story. That was the headline. And it was meant to undermine the cause of Christ. You see, nothing's changed. Nothing has changed at all. And we're reminded in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, where Paul said, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." Let God be true, because mankind, we just would rather have that lie. We would buy into that lie sooner than accept the truth. So remember what we said about there always being two sides to every story? Well, it's no different here. There's the story the world wants you to believe, and we kind of looked at that briefly, and then there's what actually happened. And that reality took place in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 28. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." At the end of the day, the religious leaders, they could say whatever they wanted to say. But the reality was Jesus met with the disciples. He met with them. He was there. They were present. They saw him. They heard him. Their lives were changed. Yes, they came with doubt, but Jesus took away that doubt. He empowered them with his presence and with his word and with his authority to go and to teach truth. That's all we're interested in, is what really happened. Our responsibility is really just to go and to tell the truth. how many people heard the story that Jesus' body was stolen by the disciples, that he had died and he remained in the tomb or some other tomb? That was what a lot of people believed. But the disciples, their responsibility was just to go and to say, listen, he's not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. And everything he said was true. And on that day, Jesus said if things were to go bad, he wasn't going to pay off the governor like the soldiers were told, but rather he promised them his continued presence, that he would be with them always, and even that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. We have this responsibility, the same responsibility that the disciples had 2,000 years ago. It's our turn. It's our time to go and to give biblical truth. 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked up to a handful of men and he said, follow me. And these two words, it transformed their lives. And in only a few short years, these men turned the world upside down. We read about their stories in the book of Acts, how they went through and they represented Christ. They stood before kings. They stood before religious leaders. They stood before the common man. They stood for truth. And they represented Jesus Christ. They turned the world upside down because they were not afraid. And they knew what they believed in. And they knew that their cause was true and just and that God was with them. And what began as mere obedience to the call of Jesus ended up changing their lives entirely and ultimately changing the world. And everything that we have today is a result of subsequent generations that have taken up their faith and this cause and have followed Christ obediently, representing his truth that Jesus is alive. You know, when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday in a few weeks, what is that whole celebration about? It's about the fact that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. You know, there are some religions that keep Jesus on the cross, and they have, you know, necklaces and statues of Jesus on the cross. He's not on the cross anymore. In fact, our very faith, it is resting on the fact that he's not on that cross anymore. He's off that cross. He was put in the tomb and he rose again. It's interesting that with Islam, Jesus didn't even die. He didn't die. He was not even on the cross. He wasn't even killed. I mean, the very act that gave us an atonement for our sin never even happened. It never even took place when you look at the teachings of Islam. Our very propitiation, our atonement is just gone. It just never happened. And then you have some religions that just keep him on the cross, and he's just there perpetually on the cross. But the power of our salvation, it is on his resurrection. And that is why Resurrection Sunday in April is such a big deal. As Jesus would later ascend to heaven, he charged his disciples with the command to go and to reach the world. And that command, it still stands. Go and reach the world. And it starts with the people in your life. It starts with your friends. It starts with your neighbors. It starts with those that you work with. It starts with those that you have influence with. You know, and it's hard. I was just teaching with one of our life groups here in the city of Chapada, and we were talking about being that witness that God wants us to be. And I was telling them, listen, this week, I want you to go and talk to people that you know well, because those oftentimes are the people that we don't want to talk to. We don't want to talk to the people that know us very well. You know, we go to the verse in the Bible that says a prophet is without honor in his own country. And then we usually write off our involvement in our own neighborhood with that scripture. But hey, this week, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told the people I was teaching here in town in Chapada. Go talk to someone about Jesus that knows you well and that you know well. You say, why would I want to do that? I mean, they know me. They know what kind of person I am. Well, I hope you have a good testimony. If you do, then go talk to them about the Lord. You need to talk to the people that know you because you have a relationship with them. They're going to hear your words. You can have an effect on them. Jesus has called us. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you're not a fisher of men, then you're not following Jesus. If you're not actively going out and trying to represent this truth that we hold dear, this truth that brings our faith together, if you're not representing this truth, actively going and talking and inviting people to know the Lord, then you're not a follower of Christ. You're just following your own commission. You're making up your own commission. Just like the world makes up their own truth, you're making another commission, maybe a commission to fulfill only the things that are comfortable in your own life. Sometimes you need to leave that comfort zone. You need to leave and do something that is right because it is right. Not because it's comfortable, not because it makes you feel good, not because of any other reason that you can think of, but because it's the right thing to do. And because God wants you to do it. And because these people, their eternal destiny is resting on the fact that you need to go tell them and that you need to give them these words of life. We remember these words of Christ as the Great Commission. This is it, Matthew chapter 28. These are the words, the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples and then he left. And they were left with these words just as we are left with them 2,000 years later. But what does it mean for us today? Well, since that time, when this small group of believers, they agreed to bear witness of what they saw to be true, what they knew to be true, they did their part. And then generation after generation, each one doing their part, each one representing the cause of Christ, brings us to today. And today we're continuing where they left off. We are continuing in the teachings of the apostles. We are continuing in the teachings of those who have gone before us, their faith shining for us as an example so that we can be empowered and go out with courage, knowing that others have done the same. And today is your turn. This week is your turn. Who are you going to tell? We are his witnesses. What does your life bear witness of? Which commission are you following? You know, we're not saved by good works, but good works do reflect that inward faith that what we have is real and what we have is genuine. Do you have the work of God in your life for others to see? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So, this is what the Great Commission is about. It's so that we can go out and give God glory. And as we lead people to the Lord and as they accept him, God is receiving glory. When a sinner comes to repentance, God receives glory. As we fulfill the Great Commission in our own life, God receives glory in and through your actions. That's what it's about. Friend, God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to do something with your life. Not to follow the world, not to follow that other commission that is meant to just, you know, propagate lies. But God wants you to stand for something true. In a world where really very few things are true, so much of what we know is false and is misrepresented. In a world where lies are the order of the day, God wants you to stand for truth. You have this responsibility and this right to be his witness. You are empowered. You are given his word. You have everything that you need. You have his Holy Spirit within you. What are you waiting for? The only thing remaining is for you to do something with your life, to make your life count. When in the light of eternity, instead of living for today, instead of living for the moment, instead of living for our own pleasure and amusement, instead of living for our own comforts and securities, instead of living for all that we hold dear in this life, live for something greater than yourself. Live for something greater than anything this world can offer you. Live for Jesus. And as we look to this coming Sunday in a few weeks where we remember the resurrection of Christ, remember that there were two commissions. There was a commission that was to undermine the cause of Christ. And then there was another, to empower his followers to go and to reach a lost world. Which commission are you part of? Remember, if you're not gathering, you're scattering. If you're not helping the cause of Christ, then you're hurting it. And simply not being involved is not an option, because not being involved is just as much a choice as being involved. And so if you're not going to take up this responsibility and this privilege of representing Christ, then you have made that decision already that you don't want to be part of God's will and God's plan for your life. Look at what you are living for and ask yourself, am I bringing others to know truth? Is my life counting for something more than what I know? So don't subscribe to the world's commission of lies. Don't subscribe to what they're offering, but rather subscribe to the Great Commission. And while you're doing that, you should go on our website and subscribe to your favorite podcast, Let's Talk Missions. You can go at www.hopezambia.com and you can sign up to receive our monthly newsletter, bi-monthly newsletter. But we would love to hear from you as well. We want to hear what you think of this podcast as we move forward. We want to know how you're doing and how you are actively engaged in the Great Commission. We want to know your story. And you say, well, I'm just in America. I'm just living my faith, kind of doing what I'm doing right here in the United States. That is just as much a part of the Great Commission as anyone else around the world, because we all have to be doing our part where we are if we're to make a difference. So thanks again for joining us today. I'm Damon Matichera, and you've been listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast. Again, take a moment to subscribe to our newsletter, go on our Facebook account, and you could see the video version of this podcast. But until then, take care, stay busy in the Great Commission, and God bless. Talk to you later. Bye.